Following is an unrehearsed interview with Stephen Rice by Libby Frost for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview was conducted at the Estill County Public Library in Irving, Kentucky on July 13, 1978.
Don't ask me my age.
Could you state your full name and where you were born?
Stephen Robert Rice. Born in Owsley County, O-W-S-L-E-Y. Excuse me, Ruth, for turning my back on you. If you want to face me, you can sit over there.
You're all right. She wants you there.
I just didn't want to turn my back on you.
No, that's fine.
Parents.
Old parents are long deceased.
Who was it? What were their names?
My father's name was Harvey Hall Rice. And my mother's name was Mary Donegan Rice.
When did you first come to Estill County?
1927.
What brought you to Estill County?
I came here to practice law. I'm an attorney.
Where did you study law?
UK Law School.
Why did you pick Irvine?
Well, I was requested to come here by my brother, who was a practicing attorney here at the time, and he painted a rosy picture here, and so I located here instead of going to a more lucrative place.
How many lawyers were in Irvine at the time?
I guess there were 8 at that time.
What was your brother's name?
Edward E. Rice.
Why did you happen to go into law?
Well, I've been fascinated with it since I was a child and attended courts and listened to the trial of cases when I was even a small lad.
This is when you lived in Owsley County?
Yes, and I grew up in the little town.
What was the town?
Boonville.
Boonville? Mm-hmm. Recall any cases in particular, any occasions, that trials at the courthouse as a child?
You mean that impressed me at the time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the trial of homicide cases generally were always of interest because they attracted large crowds of people. Naturally, I was interested too.
Did you ever witness any hangings?
No, I've never witnessed a hanging.
When you came to Irvine, what did it look like in 1927?
At that time, it was a very industrious center. It was a railroad center. The L&N Railroad had its division headquarters at this place, and had a roundhouse and yards here, and employed 105 heavy machinists. And that, of course, made a profitable town out of it. But then when the railroad converted from steam to fuel to diesel, why, that closed down the operation here yards of roundhouse because they were no longer needed. A diesel motor, you can get on it at Louisville and drive it like an automobile from Louisville to the head of the line in Whitesburg and never have to get out of your seat. That's the difference in steam. Steam, you got to keep shoveling the coal to it. So that was one thing that made this community attractive to outsiders. Fact is, most of the people that have lived here have come from other places. And then also we had a refinery up the river operated by the Texas Company, and they employed 98 employees at the time, and they remained in operation until the end of World War II. And the federal government required them to operate through World War II. But on account of the expense of transporting oil here to the refinery by rail, it was not profitable for the refinery to operate. And for that reason, they had to close down. There wasn't sufficient oil, in other words, in the community here in this county to operate the refinery, and had to be brought in by rail. So that took out the big railroad operation and the Texas refinery. And that left us nothing much except a bedroom community, if you know what that is. Bedroom community is one where you live here and work somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And that's what resulted. Of course, we have a work clothing factory here, the Carhartt Company. They employ, I understand, in excess of 300 people now. And it was, of course, a lifesaver when it was set up after World War II. So, I take that back. It was set up before World War II. But it's a very thriving industry at the present time, and affords employment for, as I say, about 300 people. The other people who work at Richmond, Winchester, Mount Sterling, and Lexington, and commute from here to the place. Farming is a part of the economy of this county. I think 1,600, there were 1,600 tobacco bases at the end of World War II, and that's been reduced down. I don't know what the number is now, but farming, including the raising of tobacco, is profitable in this county. This is a small county. There's only 12,000 people in it, so can't expect too much of a small county. What else?
You came to Irvine in 1927 and went to practice then with your brother. Where was the law office?
Where?
Mm-hmm.
In the broadest building, public square.
What was your first case in Irvine, do you recall?
Lordy, honey, how could I remember that? No, I couldn't remember. No. Well, I practiced law some in Alta County before I came here. I was county judge of Alta County for a couple of years, and had to leave up there on account of insufficient income to stay alive. Very poor kind. Yeah, are you hearing me? Am I talking loud enough?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
When did you graduate from law school?
I finished down there in 25 and accepted the county judge's place. I was elected county judge of Battle County in 25. Served 2 years till 26 and 27. And then moved here.
What political affiliation?
Oh, I'm a double-dipped Republican.
Did you have any political ambitions when you first came to Estill County?
Oh yes, I have been a candidate for county judge, for circuit judge, and have been elected circuit judge. I've served as circuit judge of this judicial district.
What kind of cases did you and your brother become involved
General
in?
General practice. In a small town, lawyers usually take everything that comes along, except bankruptcy. Never would take that.
Why was that?
I resent the idea of bankruptcy because many people use it as a means of beating their debts. You know that.
Who were some of the other lawyers at the time when you were here?
Well, at that time, Riddle and Shoemate was the leading law firm, and Clarence Miller, who was later state finance officer and Virgil Chapman practiced here, and he was elected to Congress when he was a resident here. Ben H. Scott and Hafford E. Hay. Those are the ones I recall offhand. You're asking me to tell you what I remember 52 years ago, and that's kind of taxes my memory, if you know what I'm talking about. I'm an awful old man, you must realize that. Don't depend too much on my memory. What else?
Ever have any problems after you lost a case, or did you ever lose any cases?
Oh, lawyers lose cases all the time, yes. Case loses itself. If the lawyer works diligently at the case, he does it the best he can for his client. But that doesn't mean that he wins the case. The case wins itself or loses it. Yeah, on its merits.
When did you run for office the first time here in Estill County?
I might have run for circuit judge in 1937. Yeah.
Did you win that race then?
No, I didn't win the circuit judge race until 51, and I served 6 years. 52 to 57.
Was it important for a lawyer to become involved in politics?
Well, to a core public office, it is. But otherwise, I would say it's not. It's not important. A lawyer gets his volume of business or practice according to his merits as a lawyer, not as a politician. Anybody can be a politician, but to be a successful lawyer, you've got to be a good lawyer. That is, you've got to be competent and know the law. That's the difference.
Depression hit shortly after you came to Urban. Did that affect your law practice in any way? Or?
No, I don't recall that it did. It's just that at that time there was enough litigation to go around, and everybody got some of it. I was unmarried. I didn't need much. Need much income at that time.
Did you blame the Republicans for the Depression?
No, of course not.
That was during the days of Prohibition also when you first came here.
Yeah.
How effective was Prohibition?
Well, during Prohibition, everybody in Estill County was a bootlegger, nearly. Because it was the only way to make a living for so many people. And to this day, many of them don't regret it because it's the only way they had to support their families. Moonshine and bootleg. Moonshine, that means making moonshine. Bootleg means the dispensing of it. Yeah.
Did you ever take any cases involving bootlegging or moonshining?
Oh, yes, that's just routine. Courts, dockets are always full of offenders of different charges.
Who are some of the judges that you practiced before?
Judge Hurst was circuit judge the longest, and he was succeeded by E.B. Beatty, I guess. Then by J.M. Wolfenbarger, and then by Earl Ashcraft. Present judge is Edward Jackson.
Could you tell me maybe something about some of the judges' personalities, or how it was to practice before them? Or?
Well, none of them had outstanding personality. Judge Hurst was the most competent judge that I think we ever had in this district. Probably excepting myself. And he was judge longest during the time I practiced.
Could you talk about politics here in Estill County? What kind of a county is Estill County? Is it Republican, Democrat?
It's Republican by 300 or 400 majority. And occasionally votes Democratic in the November elections. Most people vote the party label, which is unreasonable and not sensible. My philosophy is that the party which has the better candidate is the one which should be elected. In other words, and that's the way I have always voted. If my party doesn't have as good a candidate as the Democrats have, I vote for the Democrats because I'm voting for the best interest of my country, not my party. My country comes first, my party second. That's my philosophy. What do you have, Ruthie? Well, how nice. Thank you very much. A little sugar for me, please.
Who are some of the political bosses, let's say, of, say, the 1930s here in Estill County?
Why, political bosses. Now, we never had many of those animals. I guess Judge William Nolan was a political boss longer than anybody else. I would say that.
Was he a county judge? Or?
Yes, he was a county judge.
What party was he?
He was Republican.
When was he in office?
Well, I'd say for 40 to 50, probably, about 10 years, I guess. 10 or 12 years.
Have there ever been any political rivalries or close political elections here in Estill County where perhaps election was challenged or that you recall?
You mean challenged by going into court?
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall one at present. Lots of people have been now. Have quarreled a good deal after they've been defeated.
Mm-hmm.
Growled around about it, but I don't recall an election contest in the court.
What is some of the cases that you've had that you would call maybe unusual?
The most unusual case I guess I had as an attorney was the case of the Commonwealth of Kentucky versus Cuba Amberley. In Owsley County in 1933, I believe it was, in which a man was murdered while in the process of handling snakes in a religious ritual.
Could you describe the circumstances of the crime?
Well, the incident occurred at a large tent located in a creek bottom, and the tent accommodated 300 or 400 people, and at that time, there was no law against handling of snakes, but following that case, I think that case was instrumental in causing the legislature to pass a law forbidding the handling of snakes. But to get back to the store itself, the snakes were handled by a group of people standing in a semicircle on the platform, and they would the one at the end would pick up the snake, which would be a rattlesnake, and hold it up and put it around his neck or hold it against his face, and then hand it to the next one in line. They all did that in the entire group of 8 or 10 people standing there. And one of those men in that group, name was Angel, A-N-G-E-L, Angel. And someone from the outside fired a pistol shot in there and hit Angel and killed him. He fell dead on the stage. And the uncle of the son of one of uncle of one of the boys who was handling the snakes was bitten on the thumb, and this uncle lost his temper. And he went in to kill the snakes, and he grabbed the cage which the snakes were in, the screen top, and aimed his pistol at the snakes. But a deputy sheriff restrained him and took him outside and told him to go home. And he left and went to his home across the creek, 100 yards or so, and then came back. And after he came back is when the shot was fired from the dark, hitting this man, Angel. Hitting him in the back and killing him instantly. So, he was... Hamburger was indicted for that and put on trial, and the jury found him guilty and sentenced him to 2 years in the penitentiary. And that was that. That is the most unusual case I ever had as a practicing attorney. As judge, I was the trial judge in the Carter County school case. You may remember that. You're too young, maybe.
No, I don't.
Carter County school case, about 63, I guess. That's the case in which the superintendent was sued for mishandling funds belonging to the school.
Mm-hmm. Let me go back to the snake case in a minute. This Amberger, what was his full name?
Cuba.
Cuba Amberger.
C-U-B-A.
What kind of man was he?
He was just an ordinary country man. Nothing unusual about him.
Was he guilty?
No. Had 17 witnesses that said he was not guilty, and one little boy said he was, and the jury found him guilty because it was near Christmas time, and the jury said, well, let's give him 2 years for having that old pistol, so give him 2 years in the penitentiary.
How come you were called into the case? Because you were from Owsley County and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was what's called a circuit rider. Circuit rider is a lawyer who takes cases from various communities like Abraham Lincoln did.
Did you know this Ambergy fellow before?
Yes, I knew him. Just knew him.
So he was then convicted just of possessing a pistol instead of...
That's what the jury said later after they had made their verdict.
Was he arrested at the time? How soon after the crime was he arrested?
He was arrested at the time, and if they took him to jail then, I don't recall. He may have given bond and been released. I don't recall those details.
What kind of a defense did you have for him then?
Offered the defense that he didn't do it.
Because of the witnesses?
Yeah. I've got a copy of the proceedings. It's very interesting. Somebody would like to read it.
The Carter County school case, who was involved in this?
Heman McGuire was the superintendent. And he had been... He was accused of misappropriating funds for several years out of the school fund. And a group of citizens brought a suit against him to recover the funds. And I was appointed by the Court of Appeals as special judge to try the case. I believe that was 63 minutes. Took several months to try the case. And they got it finished.
Why was this a notorious case?
Oh yes, it was an outstanding case. Every newspaper in the state never had reports of it.
Why was it so important?
On account of the fact that it was a public official that was stealing money and stolen money and put on trial, and that makes an interesting case in anybody's court.
McGuire was in, as you said, he was convicted? Or?
He was, the jury fined. Found that he had misappropriated several thousand dollars and later he was indicted for evasion of income tax and served a prison term in federal prison the next year or the two or three years after that trial.
Do you know, are you familiar with state politics? Did you become involved with any political?
You see, this little county has no standing much as in the state. It's a poor county and not a wealthy county, and so nobody from here could get very far in state politics. You have to go to the county from where they go. Big business, big cities, big towns.
You were elected to circuit judge in 1951, you said?
Yes.
What area did this include?
Estill, Lee, and Owsley counties.
Did you have to travel to the courthouses then? Or?
Oh, yes. From one county to the other. Trial cases set down to terms.
A judge has a lot of discretion in terms of sentencing. Have you developed any kind of a philosophy on that? Example, capital punishment?
I am strongly in favor of capital punishment because I think it's a deterrent to crime. We had a murder case tried in this county in which two young men killed an old couple and were tried and given the death sentence, and they were electrocuted at Eddyville and brought back, and it was 4 or 5 years before there was another homicide in the county. I think that put chill on those inclined to kill somebody for a long time.
Were there more murders or homicides, say, in the first part of the century than today, or how would you compare that, the type of crime?
Let's see. In I was trying to remember that period of time. 8 years. Within 8 years, there were 8 officers killed in Irvin. Police officers. But that 8 years, I can't recall when that. That was about 1920, I think, was the period. 8 officers killed within a period of 8 years.
Why so much violence then?
I wouldn't be able to make a sensible answer to that. I assume that the officers pointed to the guns were maybe overbearing officers, and maybe some people wanted to kill them a man anyway, and so forth.
Were pistols more apparent then than now?
No, I guess not. I suppose there are as many pistols now as there were then. General, I don't mean general use, I mean general ownership of it.
Did you ever feel like you had to carry one?
Yes, I had just one instance. I'll pass that.
Any other murder cases that you recall? Here in the county or else in the area?
Well, I was the judge in a case in Owsley County in which an old lady who lived out on a farm was assaulted and robbed by 3 blacks from Covington. And they had been informed through some source that this old lady had a lot of money stashed away in her home, her humble home. And they went to break in her home. And there wasn't any money, but they hit her and knocked her out with a club of some kind. I think the jury, I believe the jury gave them all three 21 years. That was about 1953, I believe.
What about attitudes toward blacks, black people?
Well, this town, county, has only about 8 or 10 blacks. Maybe, let's see. Well, counting the children, there's probably not more than 8. And for that reason, there's no race problem here, nor in either of the other two counties in this judicial district. Very few blacks in Beattyville, and none, I don't believe, in Owsley County. There was an old darky there, but he passed away. So that's one problem that doesn't confront the people here.
In the cases that you've either witnessed or else served as judge involving blacks, did you ever see any difference between justice to whites and justice to blacks?
No, there's, I remember putting a black on the first jury that was, never had a black man. I asked the jury commission, which is composed of 3 people, I said, put a black man or a woman in the wheel because we might have a black to try, and he proper to have a black on the jury panel, and they did. They put a urban black man on the jury panel, and he served during the court.
This was the grand jury, or the?
No, he served on the trial jury.
For Estill County?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Have you ever received any threats, either as a lawyer or a judge, for?
No, I'd say no to that.
Who are some of the characters of Irvin? That's a strange question, but some of the, say, people with unusual
personalities.
Mm-hmm.
Our community is so little, I can't think of a single person who has a outstanding personality, humorous nature, or otherwise. We just don't have them here.
What was your relationship with the newspapers here?
Well, we just, you mean when I was judge?
Uh-huh.
Why, it was just
Do you ever have any problems with, say, press coverage of a case you were hearing?
No, never did. And in the Carter County case, which was tried by me as judge, no jury, I invited the correspondents to come up and sit in the jury box so they could hear everything. And they did, so they used the jury box at their headquarters. Never had any difficulty with the press. No.
What do you think about bringing television into the courtroom?
Not in favor of it at all. It puts people in an artificial frame of mind. Here, I've got to be careful or I'll be, they're looking right at me, and it throws them off balance. It's absolutely wrong. People should be in their most natural state when they're in a courtroom, on a jury, and on a witness stand. Very much opposed to it.
When did you marry here in Irvin?
Yes. Yeah. I tell my friends that my wife married me for my money, which of course is, I say I married her because she's a school teacher. And she can make a living. Yeah, I'm right here in, when was it, 36, long time.
Did you ever witness any fights or in the courtroom or outside the courtroom or anything like that?
One time when I was county judge at of Ellsley County and trying a trivial case between two big strong men, and they were both in a huff about it, they came to blows. Of course, I had to find them for contempt of court.
Right in the courtroom?
Yes, right in the courtroom. That happens occasionally. I never had much knowledge of it.
Have you ever encountered any public attitudes towards, say, lynching? This kind of thing in a case.
There was a sheriff killed here, murdered is the word, and had there been a little more time and a few more people engaged, they would have taken the man out and hanged him because of the intense feeling at that time. It was very popular. Very popular sheriff.
Were you involved in the case?
No, in no way.
What was the sheriff's name?
Well, we better not. We better not report that. The man who killed him was tried and found guilty of murder and his punishment fixed at death, and interesting incident occurred when the jury read their verdict, and the judge said, "Mr. Jailer, take the defendant back to jail." They the jailer. I mean, he told the jailer to take the defendant back to jail. The jailer was walking through the aisle with him and the man behind him, and his wife, the man's wife, falling along and started screaming at the top of her voice. Oh Lord, what'll I do now? How'll I raise my little children? He turned around to her and said, shut up, goddammit, I'm not dead yet. And sure enough, he was, and the Court of Appeals gave him a new trial. And on the second trial, he got a life sentence. And he served 8 years. Got a life sentence, and moved to Ohio, and I think he's living yet.
What do you think of the judicial amendment which changed the court structure?
I think it's very, very beneficial. The courts have been clogged with these little minor cases, the circuit courts, I mean. And under the new system with the district court, the district court, of course, is the traffic court, which used to be handled by the police judges and so on. The district court now handles everything that was tried by the county judge, the police judges, the magistrates. All of those trials now are tried by the district judge, who is an official of the three counties. And all of the traffic cases and the little minor civil cases come into his court. For instance, he has a small claims court, which if I owe you $100 and won't pay you, you can go into the small claims court and file a claim against me for the $100. Trial to be set next Saturday, then you don't need a lawyer for that. Lawyers are not necessary in small claims. That's taken a lot of the time and burden off of the circuit courts. And also, of course, the purpose of the law was to take the trial of cases out of the hands of incompetence, that is, a farmer, clodhopper, that didn't know any law. You know, for 20 years they've been making all kinds of protections to throw around a defendant who's been accused of crime. And yet when he comes up to trial, he's to be tried before a county judge who hasn't had a third grade education. So you see what a situation that is. So to cure that situation, they set up this district court law, and the district judge has to be a lawyer, and giving the defendant the benefit of trial by a man who is qualified to try.
Did you have any other interests besides law here in Estill County?
No, not until 1960, I guess. Became part owner of a farm, but no need to mention that. Didn't make any money yet. This county is not a mountain county. It's a hill county. there's no, the mountain counties are those up the river where the coal is. There's no coal in Estill County. There's oil produced here, but no coal. We're in the area called the Knobs, K-N-O-B-S, Knobs. The Knobs is a circular area surrounding the bluegrass. And you can see, when you go outside, see the Knobs, the hills in this position. This county is the prettiest county in Kentucky. That is, naturally. It has more pretty natural scenery than any other county. And I would bet on that, or and swear to it. It's not been a highly successful county. Now you didn't ask me anything about education, but I'm interested not in whether Kersey has the best team. I'm interested in the number of Phi Beta Kappa Keys that's earned over there at UK. It's good to have a football team and winners and so forth, and Joe Hall too, but the number of Phi Beta Kappa Keys earned at the University of Kentucky pleases me much more. Scholarship is what I'm more interested in.
This is tape 2, side 1 of an interview with Stephen Rice.
You went to school in Owsley County to prepare for law school, is that correct? What kind of preparation did you make?
I went to Berea College. Then I went to the University of Kentucky. Three years.
Did you get a degree then from Berea, or?
No, I finished my prep school at Berea.
Mm-hmm. Well, what kind of preparation did you do for law school?
Well, I took, at the University of Kentucky, I took the courses that's suggested as suitable for pre-law, but
where was the law school building?
The law school was in the third floor of the engineering college building at that time. They didn't have any law school building.
That was so long ago, I don't like to talk about it. How many, what was the size of your class?
There were 15 or something. Goodness sake. Well, I don't want to talk about the law school and its failings at the present time. Goodness.
Were you required to stay on campus?
Are you interested in going into law yourself?
No, not personally.
You're married, are you?
Mm-hmm. Who were some of the teachers that you recall?
At law school?
Mm-hmm.
Well, honey, I'll declare you're you're pushing me. Well, the dean was Judge Lafferty from Cynthiana, and we had Professor Hamilton from Louisville, and we had a teacher from Massachusetts, Dr. Roberts, who compiled the Kentucky Law Book, and Professor Chalkley, who was one of the old Southern gentleman type, and so forth. Pretty interesting group of people. But that is back in them days, long ago. Well, you know, there's quite a number of girls now going into law school. I noticed the number of graduates in the newspaper the first of this month. About half of them are girls. You know, it's a pastor part of them, about half a girl. That's surprising to me, yeah. We've got three women lawyers at Richmond. Dr. Steen's wife is one, and State Senator's wife is another. No, there's four. There's four over there in that little town. You tell them to come over here.
What was the first woman lawyer that you can remember?
That I ever saw? There was contacted. First woman lawyer. A woman lawyer from Prestonsburg, I believe, and she was in a trial at Mount Sterling, special judge, and the suit was a civil suit for damages to land by the highway department. She and her husband were both lawyers, and I think divorced shortly after that occasion. She's a good lawyer. Now we have over here in Powell County. Have you been in Powell County?
Mm-hmm.
Stanton?
Mm-hmm.
You met May Briscoe?
Mm-hmm.
Woman lawyer there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's had quite a career. She was 20 years at the Department of Revenue at Franklin. And then she married an army captain and moved to San Francisco and lived there many years, and she's back now at Stanton and practicing law. She's a woman about, I'd say, 60 years old. Won't quit. I tell her to quit and give up. She takes her work so seriously.
Are you still practicing law?
Trying my best to retire in case. I do just office practice. I don't take any trial cases in court before juries. No. Should quit altogether, but can't quit altogether. It's a hard job. Retiring is a hard job to do. Just cut loose and not do anything. No, I couldn't do that. I've got a good office. good secretary, good library, and it's hard to give it up. Come around if you need a divorce. How many children do you have?